Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
You guys know Sierra got married last year. It's a lot of work.
Oh boy, was it.
It's a lot to do. And one thing that really helped her figure out what to do first, where to access certain resources, how to get people to know where they were supposed to go for a wedding, Zola.
With Zola, you can discover venues and find vendors easily. You can message and book vendors right on their website. And truly, when I say that that was the first part that we had to do and also one of the most intimidating and hardest, it's so nice to just have them all listed right there and be able to talk to them right there and then.
They also have free planning tools, which is really helpful because you don't know what you don't know. And if when you go to Zola, you have a guest list manager, wedding website templates, a budgeting tool, because dang, can a wedding get out of hand real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It could all eliminate so much stress and you'll save so much time, all because it's like a one-stop shop.
That's so true. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch.
Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Hey guys,
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
What's up, everyone?
One.
Go off.
Sorry. Whenever I'm sick and I'm really nasally. Oh, well, I'm not sick. I'm just nasally.
Yeah.
I might be sick. But I'm just kind of, I was yelling. Yeah. I was yelling a lot. Sometimes I get heated, and our office has such good acoustics that I come in here and I would just like to yell because it sounds nicer here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now I've done this to my voice, and so
you know what?
I like sometimes to pretend that I'm a 2000s pop star.
No. Sometimes just yelling into the void is so helpful.
That's what we call the office.
The void.
We're going to the void.
No, but truly, I tried to teach. I taught Noah that trick. Mm. I was like, I see you having these huge feelings. You know what you could do? Is go stuff your face into your pillow in your room and just scream.
Just yell.
And he did for like, I don't know, a good at least 5 minutes. And at one point, tears were coming out. And he was frustrated with math. It's okay. I've been there.
Hey, same.
I've been there.
Yep.
And I was like, hey, I can see you getting really worked up about this. Take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Go into your room. Scream into a pillow.
Yep.
Get it out. Get those feelings out.
I do that.
You can't work if you're feeling all of those, like, you know what I mean?
100%.
It just is going to pile up.
100%.
So he did it. He had tears, and then he got up, wiped his tears, smile on his face. And he was like, that was actually awesome.
Sometimes that's how you know, like, you've had a breakthrough. But other times, that's scary.
I know.
You're like, I'm not sure which one it is. But this one feels okay, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
I was like, as long as you're not taking it out, because he started to get, like, frustrated, and I could see that.
Yeah.
Being taken out on other members of the family. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, well, Sawyer's just climbing off.
Yes,
you know
yes,
what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
Getting like really upset. And I was like, hey, you're allowed to feel what you're feeling right now.
No
what
one
you're
else
not
is responsible
do
for it.
Is take it out on the 2-year-old
yep.
who's just doing 2-year-old things.
Yeah.
So take that into the bedroom.
Yeah.
And take it out on your pillow.
Yeah. I have started doing that with the word fuck.
Oh, yeah. Fuck is a good one.
Yeah. I wonder how long we are into the episode, because I know if we cuss a lot at the beginning, they take
they
us. They're like, you're not suitable for ads. The whole episode where we like cut it up the whole thing, like,
yeah,
just they're like, hey, that's going to be a.
Can't do that.
Yep. You're not getting shit for this guy. But
that's how you know we're true artists.
We don't even care. I will just walk away. And I don't say because I think sometimes it can almost seem like cursing that way is like you're cursing someone, but I just like the way it sounds in my mouth. And so yeah, I'll just be like, good. Fuck, 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 fuck.
Good.
And then I feel better because then I sound silly.
Yes.
And then I laugh.
I like that. Mm-hmm. That's good.
The first few times that I started doing it, I had to like make it known to Shane as I was walking past him doing it. I was like, this just feels good. This is not for or towards anyone, just so you're aware. And so after I told him that, anytime he sees me doing it, he's just like, oh, there she goes, calming down again.
Oh, look at her regulating.
Regulators.
Mount up. All right. Here's the thing. What we have to tell you about. We're going on tour.
I know you've heard it. We're going on tour.
We're never going to stop talking about it until it's over because it's an exciting thing. And also Florida.
Actually, how are you doing, Florida?
No, we're actually very concerned.
Yeah.
Weren't they having some weather?
I think they're having some weather.
We also have been having some weather here in Ohio. And I feel like everywhere in between has also had a little bit of something. We got snowstorms, but I've seen like tornadoes in Florida.
Really?
And I don't think that's normal. Yeah.
I've seen that's normal either.
Multiple on my For You page of like tornadoes happening.
Interesting. I heard there was a big sickness going through. Bitchitis. What the fuck is wrong with you? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
We do have news though for you. If you want to go to the Florida show, this is huge. This is very big.
Yep.
Huge. Couldn't be bigger. Very big. The bigliest news. Okay.
Ew.
And that news is
that the show is now 18 plus. I don't know if it's both of them or just Orlando.
Say, hang on. We might have to. Tampa will double check with you, but we know Orlando.
Orlando for sure has agreed to make the show 18 plus.
We've told you this before. Unfortunately, it's not us. When you go to look and you book a ticket and it says 21 plus, that is because of the venue.
Yeah, it's not you. It's not me.
it's them. But we have been working with, honestly, not just those two. We've tried with multiple, but Florida is, at least Orlando has caved. We've bullied them.
Yeah, I was just going like to say, we're bullying you. If you are not special if you think that you're the only ones being bullied by us.
No, we're doing
we
it
stay
to them
bullying
too.
Venues to let underage children in their shows
so that we can cuss at them. No, but truly, it is going to be a good time. I think, is it 18 plus now?
But when I tell you guys, Sierra and I had like a huge breakthrough. Let me tell you a little bit of something, okay? We filmed ourselves, okay? Camp Tangents, okay? We filmed ourselves camping. I said this to Mommy Maggie today. I said there was so much good content. I didn't know how to like combine it. I thought I was going to like, it was going to be more difficult than it was. And I said, turns out we're just funny all the time. So now I don't know how to prioritize what are the best parts. Yeah. But Sierra and I had a moment of clarity and the pieces that we've put together and the way that they're being strung together. When I tell you every time I watch them, I laugh. I watch them, I laugh. But I also
You're talking a big game.
I am talking a big game because like I want to back this. It's not just like, come see us on tour. We'll see what the fuck happens. I'm really proud of it. And so like I'm excited now that I feel confident in what we're doing because there was a time where I was like, I know this could be ass. I know we're gonna pull it out.
Yeah.
Because pull out game's strong.
But so I know about us.
But I can't say for certain how we're gonna go about pulling it out. Now I feel confident because I know exactly where we're putting it and pulling it. And
bopping it.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway, you gotta see it.
You do. And also what you have to see, because we have a little bit for, we're going to record two episodes. Obviously, one is for our Patreon.
Yes.
Princesses. Prince and princesses at the end of this.
Our principals.
And so I asked them to ask us questions that we could answer. And some were like a hey ladies post, but I opened it up to like Q&A. And when I tell you, so many are tour questionies. So if you are someone who also has those, you can go like about
Fun.
Us on tour.
Yes.
We will be answering them. So that is patreon.com/ladiesandtangents. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm just going to like give us a little bit of props here. Our Patreon's pretty fucking dope.
Because
if you go there now, the backlog of episodes you will have
is crazy.
You're like, damn, I'm finished binging you guys and now I have nothing. There's so many episodes.
There's gotta be like 50 plus.
Easy. And if you're in the $10 tier, you get access to all of them.
Yes.
So, and we post them every other Friday.
Right.
Right? Or at least two Fridays a month.
Yep, 2 Fridays a month.
And we are going to be doing more lives on Patreon. Mm-hmm. We have some fun things
scheduled for Patreon.
That we're working.
We're very excited. You know what this whole part of the show so far has felt like?
Huh.
That part in church where they pass around the basket. And they're like,
come on, give the Lord some money.
Hey, thank you guys for coming. And while you're here, pull out your wallets and find a buckaroo for
Jesus himself.
Yeah. So anyway.
This is your tithe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what they call it, I think.
That is what they call it.
I haven't been to church in a long time, I'll be honest.
I always felt weird. Anyway.
Because you didn't have any money or what?
Yeah.
That was me. I was always like, I'm broke.
Well, they told me that I was supposed to do like 10% of my income. And I was like, that's a lot.
That is.
That's a lot when I don't have any. Like, what the fuck?
I know.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, no wonder I'm not getting any blessings.
Yeah.
I'm not
paying for shit.
Not a thing. I was like, I hope a 20 will do like whenever I go, once a month maybe.
A year.
Yeah. I actually think I'm still paying a church $20 a month because I signed it up with my debit card.
Word?
I think. Unless that debit card is one of the ones that I accidentally fell for a scam with.
Yeah.
Because I did. Again,
I like to just, for good measure, cancel and renew debit cards every couple years because I know I have so many things I accidentally subscribe to that I can't remember.
It's like when you remember that your toothbrush has been your toothbrush for too long and you're like, I should probably get a new one or just like a new head for that.
Yeah. How long is this? Like the bristles are all fucking spiked.
Yeah.
That can't be good for anyone's mouth.
I have to like kind of scrape the excess. Dried toothpaste off of it. Maybe I should just get a new one.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, do we have a treat for you? And by a treat, I mean
it's time
to get serious.
Thank you all for getting through the beginning part. Now it is time for the content.
It's time to get serious. We're taking you to church.
Take me to church. Yes, we're just black and dog.
I really like how you're turning this into a musical.
Well, I don't think I'm gonna like how it's gonna go, so I'm trying to. I'm doing the whole cunt thing.
Yeah, I create
a little bit of a.
Well, this is another one of those episodes where it might give you a. Here's what I'm gonna tell you about what we're about to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry offered up a compilation of YouTube videos that she watched, and is like
multiple years ago.
Look at this and tell me, should we talk about it? And I was like, yes. I saw one of the words, which said like family systems. Uh-huh. I Googled it. I read a bunch of articles. I was like, I love this. Let's do something on this. Turns out wasn't the same thing.
No.
So then I watched yours and I was like, that is different. I'm not going to do yours. I apologize.
No.
But we are going to in the future.
I was going to say, I'm good because I've already watched those videos. Yes. So now I don't know what you're going to tell me.
So what I ended up finding is basically a theory in psychology. Mm-hmm. So all my psychology students, people that have probably taken a psychology course, maybe you know. But this is basically, I believe it's called.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. What? I was trying to do the principals thing, but with psychology, and I just did my psychopals, and I was like, that's not.
You guys, my psychopals.
That doesn't work as well. Sorry.
So this is called the Bowen Family Systems Theory.
This sounds like a family who was on TLC and now they like don't speak to each other.
No. It's not based off a family system.
It was like K+8.
Bowen was a psychiatrist, Dr. Murray Bowen.
Murray.
Okay. I know. I love him purely based on the name.
He seems fuzzy.
You know what? I get that.
You know what I mean?
I get that.
Murray Bowen has hair that looks like DD Pickles and a mustache and like really tiny glasses.
Yeah.
Now that you guys have that very accurate visual, let's hear what he has to say.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I'm more so going off of an article, of course, that I found on Psychology Today because I love that site. And this is written by Eileen Strauss Cohen, PhD, and reviewed by Michelle Quirk.
Okay.
So I just felt like this was, there's,
he doesn't look like that, by the way. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He looked like. Show me.
He just looks like an old man. He's just an old man.
Oh, he kind of looks like Albert Einstein a little bit.
Minus the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, he honestly looks like the guy who asked you to pass the basket.
Yeah. 100%.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the deal. Basically, so the system itself had like 8 parts.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So basically what this is it kind of smushes it all together.
Got it.
And gives you like, this is how it's portrayed negatively. This is a healthy way kind of to do it.
Cliff notes.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's what we need. And that's what we love.
So yeah. Murray Bone for dummies.
Pretty much. Pretty much. So here's my disclaimer. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm barely a person.
She's a psychopal.
I am a psychopal. And I didn't really go to college for more than a year. Like each time that I tried.
Collectively.
I might have 3 years under my belt, but they were all like 10 years apart. Yeah. Anyways, 5 maybe. Okay.
Who's counting?
It doesn't matter. But so a lot of this might be like a verbatim thing, but it is more so for the discussion of it.
Yes.
I'm not presenting this to you as if it's my knowledge. This is all to Eileen. Eileen, thank you so much. Mm. We're just going to talk about what you wrote. And I think that it's important because if some of you didn't look this up or didn't know about it, here you go.
Again, it's very much like depression versus burnout.
Yeah, 100%.
Like what we did with that. But Sierra's more prepared than I was that day.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay, so basically, here's the deal. That the Bowen family systems theory offers profound insights into the dynamics of family relationships and how they shape our lives as individuals.
Mm.
So essentially what this means, I fucked it up because I used that then to get on the Patreon to look for questions for later.
Honestly, I'm so sorry because I feel like I jinxed you because I said you're more prepared than I was the other day.
I was, but
no,
then I just fucking lost this one part that I wanted to say.
I think that people don't realize how much a family system and the dynamics of the household that they came from impacts how they perceive the world and engage with the world.
So here's what it says. Basically, Dr. Murray, he formulated the theory by using systems to integrate knowledge of the human as a product of evolution with the knowledge from family research. Basically, merging the two, saying that like...
Murray merger. Old merge and Murray.
Yes. So an assumption is that an emotional system that evolved over several billion years governs human relationships.
Oh,
systems.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
how
yes,
it's
yes.
all connected.
Yes.
So basically, people have a, quote, thinking brain language, a complex psychology and culture, but they still do all the ordinary things that other forms of life does.
Right.
The emotional system affects most human activity and is the principal driving force in the development of clinical problems.
Okay.
Knowledge of how the emotional system operates in one's family, work, and social systems offers new, more effective options for solving problems in these areas. So basically what it's saying is like, if you spend a lot of time with a system, we're going to mostly talk about your family, which is basically
yes.
just like a group of people.
Yes.
When you're living in a household with people, whether you think you were close to your family or not, just living in that same household, growing up with those people, you basically live under the same like emotional skin, if
yeah.
that makes sense. And so everything that happens has an effect on you, whether you knew it or not.
Yes.
The other people, how they lived their lives, what happened to them had an effect on you.
Yes.
And now will affect your family,
mm-hmm.
which I mean, you kind of know, but like,
it's one of those things where it's like, duh.
Yeah. But also
not duh.
Exactly.
Like cheerleaders leading cheers.
Yes.
If you don't take a second to think about why a bus stop is called a bus stop, you don't realize, oh, that's where the bus stops. That makes sense.
Exactly. Okay. So basically this is, the whole thing is that it's the nature of a family that its members are intensely connected emotionally. Often people feel distant or disconnected from their families, but this is more feeling than fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So families so profoundly, and this is a fact, that families so profoundly affect their members' thoughts, feelings, and actions that it often seems as if people This is the emotional skin part. This is why I said that. Living under the same emotional skin. People solicit each other's attention, approval, and support, and they react to each other's needs, expectations, and upsets, whether or not they're consciously doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Disconnectedness and reactivity makes the functioning of family members interdependent.
And that makes me feel yucky.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Because you think about people who you don't have that kind of a closeness with, and you don't feel that same need for approval, or you don't worry about their needs in the same way. And so I think that's why creating boundaries can be so difficult, because you are...
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
You are one.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to talk about that.
It's like, so if you're not that, then you're nothing. And that, then I don't have a family. And
yes.
So it's like a loss of self, a loss of identity. And it's, that would make me spiral into the ground.
Yeah. So what this says is a change in one person's functioning is predictably followed by reciprocal changes then in the functioning of all the others around them. Families differ somewhat in their degree of interdependence, but it is always present to some degree.
Oh, for sure.
It's crazy.
Wait. Time out.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check and see if we have any sponsors.
I am obsessed with clothes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a problem for me. It's a problem for my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's why I'm so excited to be sharing Newly with our audience. Because Newly is a way to try out trendy styles, colors, silhouettes, all different kinds of things that maybe you've been interested in but are like going to make your bank cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can rent them for a period of time and then you just ship them back.
For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing.
That's another beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of places may not have options
for
everyone, and this has so much diversity, not only in the brands that they offer, but also they have fast free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Newly's state-of-the-art laundering facility.
Plus the option to buy what you love.
It's fun, it's sustainable, and you can save because you get to try out a bunch of stuff that you like, or maybe you're like, I don't know, maybe I would like this. And then you get it and you're like, I don't think that's for me, but there's no commitment to buy it unless you really do love it. And you're like, you actually can't have this back, Newly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it.
Newly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off of your first month of Newly when you sign up with the code Tangents20.
Just go to NULY.com. That's Newly with 2 U's, and enter the code Tangents20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month.
That's NULY.com. Newly with 2 U's with code Tangents20.
Newly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
This emotional interdependence presumably evolved to promote the cohesiveness and cooperation families require to protect, shelter, and feed their members.
Yeah, just keep the household running as a
exactly
in a quote-unquote functional way.
So because of that, you have biologically heightened emotions and tension.
Connectedness.
Yes. That you wouldn't have with other people. You were able to read body language better.
Bitch, when I tell, things... let me tell you something. I'm interrupting you.
No,
let me
ahead.
Fucking
go
tell
ahead.
You
go
this,
ahead.
Okay? So I just said this to my dad the other day because he was like, hey, I want to have a conversation with your sister. And I was like, okay, go for it. And he's like, but I want to be the one to have the conversation. And I was like, and I think you should.
Yeah.
I want no part of being in that conversation.
Yeah.
And he is like, are you sure? That's your sister. I know you guys talk. And I was like, Dad, I respect you. This is nothing. This is not, you want to talk? You talk then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
And then I'm around my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But she looked at me and it was like she read my mind.
She's like, something's going on.
And started speaking as if I had just ended a sentence. Like she was continuing a conversation that had never started. And I just looked at her and I go, I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And she was like, you didn't have to. And I was like, what? And so I talked to my dad and I was like, hey, bestie girl, I just want to let you know that
I didn't say anything.
It is important to me and my integrity that you know that I was true to my word. And I would, I'm not trying to gaslight you, but I'm going to gaslight you here and say to you that our family system, the first language of our household was body language.
Yes.
And so we are able to
communicate that way,
communicate and read movements, subtle face changes, mm-hmm. so much so that I can do it with people who weren't in the mm-hmm. household.
Yeah.
But the people who were in the household, girl,
oh, it's like you're, it's like they're speaking without speaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's bizarre. And it's not just me and my sister. Oh, yeah. My dad and my sister have done it before. Yep. My mom has done it before. It's like we all have this ability to look at each other and be like, I know exactly everything yeah, that's happening going in your head. Yes. And whether we want to believe that's woo-woo or not, like, okay, we're witches. Sure. Maybe there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
But
it also could be biology.
It's also biology.
So, okay, this says when family members get anxious, that anxiety can escalate by spreading infectiously among the household.
Yeah.
Okay. As anxiety goes up, the emotional connectedness of family members becomes more stressful than it is comforting. Eventually, one or more members can feel overwhelmed, isolated, or out of control. These members are the people who accommodate the most to reduce tension in others. Mm-hmm. What does that sound like? You and I? Holy fuck. Every time I was reading this, I was like, call out the oldest siblings or the oldest
Dude,
children.
Yes.
More. Jesus. Trying to be the problem solver, the peacemaker.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I was the one getting the most sick. And that's why my fucking heart keeps going all over the place. And I need to go to the hospital about it because I don't know how to manage my anxiety. Because in my
family system,
it was all about shove it down, shove it down, shove it down. You have to be the one to like mm-hmm. make everything better because mm-hmm. if not, these people are going to go out of control.
And in mine,
they have big emotions and you have to be the one to settle in.
And mine, it was what happens here stays here. Mm. And out of respect for our family, what goes on needs to stay between our family and in this house. Yeah. It is no one else's business. And to a degree, that is true. Mm-hmm. However, in the way that it manifested for me, it was basically, you better pretend that this house isn't the way this house is.
Right.
You're going to go out into the world and you're going to be, you're going to look more functional than you feel.
Yeah,
you're going
yeah, yeah.
to
just put on a mask.
You're going to be more accomplished than expected mm-hmm. coming from what you're coming from.
Right.
And I'm going to be very interested to hear this back when I'm editing it because I was just talking in therapy about how mind you, I spent my entire therapy session on the floor. Mm. I was on the floor just staring at the ceiling being like, Kay, I have some shit to say. And normally I'm not like that. And I was saying that like it's very important to me when talking on the podcast that I don't weaponize our audience, weaponize our platform, and that I always remember that anytime we're speaking about situations like this close to us, that the people who we are including in these stories, whether outright or not, they don't have the same opportunity mm-hmm. to give their perspective or defend themselves if they feel as if they're being portrayed in a negative light. So I am speaking from my experience mm-hmm. and my experience alone. My truth is my truth. And something that Kay said to me was sometimes it's hard for people to hear your truth if they're not ready to speak theirs. And I sat up for that part. I go, what did you just say to me? Excuse me, Kay.
Say that one more time.
You better say it again. And I said, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I always understood that people had different perceptions of things and that there was an infinite realities that lived in the minds of every single person. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize that my truth is the truth, but if someone is not ready to speak their truth truthfully,
mm-hmm.
they're not ready to confront what needs to be confronted. And so mm-hmm. what they're saying is the version of reality that makes them the most comfortable
yep.
when they're not ready to change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That it's going to be very difficult for you who for someone who is speaking their truth and is confronting those things to connect with those people.
Yeah.
I don't know if that made any sense or if I was just talking in circles, but basically all that to say, if this is just our experience and leave it at that, this is not us being like, we're going to shit talk our shitty families. No, for an hour.
And truly, it's just like, here's one of the things that I will say, spoiler alert. A part of this is multi-generational.
Yes.
So it is okay also to acknowledge that that might have been the way that it was because that's how it was for them. And I can fully, yeah, yes.
There's a lyric, I'm wearing my Noah Kahn sweatshirt right now.
Fucking
there's a lyric,
one of my favorite lyrics
in
of all
Growing
time.
Sideways that says, I'm still angry at my parents for what their parents did to them. But it's a start. And it's like, it is, yes, I'm mad, but I'm still going to acknowledge that hurt people. And I know this came from somewhere and people don't set out to be bad at their jobs, whether that job is an actual physical job you go to or a job that you have to assume based on your position in your family system or whatever. Like you don't set out to be a bad version of that. And you don't know what you don't know. You don't know until after it's done whether you would have done something different.
And here's what I'll say. I said it when we did the last one where I was like, hey, if you're feeling called out, I implore you to not get defensive because I'm not saying you're bad. I'm not saying you should be shameful if you admit you did these things, because there will be multiple times in here where you will hear me admit that that's who I was in the family system in a negative way.
Yeah.
So I think it's human. Yeah, it's just a human, like, we're going to make mistakes. That's right. Okay. This is just a moment to reflect and be like, maybe for the future, now I know more, now I know better. That's why we do these episodes.
And it's important to be able to look at yourself. That's a part of owning your truth.
It sure is. It sure is.
And telling your truth truthfully.
Yes.
You truth truthers.
Truth doesn't feel like a real word.
Truthless.
Truthless. Okay, so those members who accommodate to reduce tension, that's obviously a reciprocal interaction. They're doing that because of the emotions and reactions and anxieties of others.
I wonder too if some people feel that they were that, but other people didn't view them as that.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so for example, this could be a person taking too much responsibility for the distress of others in relation to their unrealistic expectations of them.
Okay.
Or a person that gives up too much control of their thinking and decision making in relationship to others anxiously telling them what to do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, like abandon yourself.
Because these people need me to be something. Yes.
Can't relate to that.
Right.
I don't know what that's
the
about.
The one who does the most accommodating will literally, quote, absorb the system's anxiety and thus is the family member who is most vulnerable to problems such as depression, alcoholism, affairs, or physical illness. This is all just written. I'm reading that verbatim. So that's good to know. That's a little bit of the introduction.
Yeah.
And why maybe I get so fiercely protective of us, but also I feel like a lot of people who are our listeners are that person.
Yes.
And I feel like that's why they connect with us and with this podcast so much, which is why when I read that, it fucking...
Oh, yeah. My eyes were really welling.
Yeah.
But I'm wearing Sierra's brow.
My brow scale.
Her brow scara on my eyes, and I don't know what's going to happen if it starts running.
That's true. I can't promise that's waterproof.
Yeah. I bet it's not. But that checks out. And what's the reason I think I got so emotional hearing that is because I spent so much time denying that fact because I viewed myself as the strongest, the one with the least amount of problems, the one who's the most well adjusted.
I got it together.
And that was reinforced. That was reinforced. Like, I don't have to worry about you.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about you. You're fine. Yeah. You've got it. I know that you're always going to be okay. I don't have to worry about that.
And so then it made me... You were internalizing all of those problems because everyone else around you had, quote, bigger problems that you had to essentially cater to and absorb their issues more. I got to put my shit to the side, put my shit to the side. And then it's like, okay, well, that is going to pile up and explode eventually.
Yeah.
And then what? Mm-hmm. Now you're all fucking looking at me sideways like, Sierra, I didn't know you were depressed. You're always so happy. What?
Jerry, why are you such a bitch all the time?
Well, I have been just constantly being the person who is trying to like navigate this in a way that's like, hold on, guys, I can fix this. I can fix you. And I know I can fix you. And I could try to fix him. And I could try to fix her. And it's okay. And I will solve this for you all. And I know that wasn't on me. But also, no one else was doing it.
Right. And I think that I watched something today that said that until the age of 7, children, their mirror neurons are like the most active. And so they are absorbing things and learning things just by observing or subconsciously absorbing it.
Yes.
And so even if someone isn't saying those things outright, you just feel the vibes and you just notice what's going on. And so you're like, okay, if there's a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
I was really hoping as soon as you said if there's a problem, I was like, you better.
But you feel like, okay, you learn about problems and how there has to be a solution. And then if someone is like, well, hey, have you tried to figure this out yourself? Hey, you're the oldest. Mm-hmm. You should teach them. Mm-hmm. You should show them.
Be the example.
Set an example. You should know better. Mm-hmm. And so when those are the
Even
phrases.
You're less than 2 years older than them.
Those are the lessons.
Not a baby anymore when they were born.
This you're going to internalize that and believe, I should know better. Mm-hmm. I should set the example. I should do these things. Remember, we don't do should.
No.
We're not supposed to do shoulds.
Don't should but, yourself.
But when you are young and the adults in your life are
also young
and also don't fully have an understanding of how that works and the impact that that's going to have, because I'm going to cut you off.
Go
but
ahead.
I want to read something to you guys. So I saw someone share a comment today about gentle parenting. Okay. And I think that a lot of people don't fully understand what gentle parenting is. They just think it's people like being passive towards children and letting them walk all over them, making them soft.
Yeah, right.
Or whatever. But the comment,
you can be a gentle parent and also still discipline and have structure for your child. Those are actually very core things in parenting that you should do.
Right.
Children need it.
So the comment in response to it was, I was hard on my kids because the world will be hard on them. I feel sorry for these children being gentle parented. They are setting them up for a gentle world that doesn't exist.
Interesting.
This was my response to it. The world is not something you enter. It's not a decathlon you have to train for, though many with a more authoritarian parenting style believe that it is. The world is something you perceive through the filter created and reinforced for you in your developmental years. The goal is not to change the world to cater to the person, but rather, despite the infinite perceptions and projections in the world, prepare our children with a strong enough sense of self that they aren't discouraged or defeated when confronted and challenged by these different perspectives. Mm. The goal is not to train for one ambiguous challenge of adulthood in the real world. It's to develop the skills it takes not to lose sight of yourself when the real world reflects conflicting images back to you.
Interesting.
It's not about making the stresses of the world easier for them. It's about making sure they can be easy on themselves in the inevitable hard times.
Boom. That part.
When you don't have someone helping you learn who you are, mm-hmm. and the importance of your sense of self at that young age, mm-hmm. and you believe that all I am is here to set an example and serve others, that is what you will continue to do for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And if anyone reflects something different back to you than that, you will feel shame. You mm-hmm. will feel guilt. You will feel like an absolute fucking failure. Until you figure out who you really are. And it doesn't matter what any other mirror reflects back to you.
Yep. Not to mention, we're going to go into these a little bit more, but you will see that most of these are very much the parent. It's not, I mean, it is how the parent parents, but it is also just
how the parent deals with their own emotions. So if you are still that unhealed, if you're not gentle with yourself,
yes,
and you don't know how to handle your own emotions because you were never taught, or you were told that emotions were silly, fuck them, then that isn't going to work well in the family system.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that. Okay. So
we have a lot of feelings.
We do. We do have so many feelings. So this is straight from the Psychology Today article. Again, I'm jumping back to that. This says, in this post, I explain the core tenets of Bowen's theory, and I discover how it can transform and enrich our connections in our systems. So number one is emotional fusion and differentiation. Okay. So emotional fusion refers to a state in which individuals, excuse me.
That's like saying the pledge. There's so many words in that.
Individuals. The wording was individuals become enmeshed. And I was like, that's a lot of
bars.
Honestly, I love it. Become enmeshed with the emotions and needs of others, which leads to an unhealthy blurring of boundaries and a loss of individuality.
Yes.
So on the other hand, you have differentiation, which is maintaining a sense of self while still remaining connected to others. We've talked about it. Codependency.
Yeah.
Not a healthy way to have relationships with people. It's not good for you and yourself. You have to have a very strong sense of self to start fostering those relationships with other people.
And again,
well,
if you do develop
healthily
a strong sense of self, which I truly believe that I have,
mm-hmm.
I think when other people are now faced with your strong sense of self, when maybe that was not the person that they first developed a relationship with.
Oh, 100%.
Whether you were a child or an adult.
It can be jarring.
Yes. And it feels like now you're
leaving me behind.
Yes.
Or you're not who I thought you were.
And I'll tell you, as somebody who is trying to figure out how to differentiate, yes. I guess, in yeah. different systems and kind of limit my enmeshment, it's very hard because to me, it also feels like I am abandoning people or totally. I'm like isolating myself.
Oh, yeah.
I do not know how to do it. And that was another thing that Kay and I tried to focus on yesterday, is just like the fluidity
yeah.
of boundaries and trying to find the middle of it.
100%. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. That's why when we're saying this, I'm not sitting up here like, just do it. I understand. It is very difficult.
And I actively don't know how.
We both are struggling with. That's what I want you to know.
Yeah.
By developing emotional differentiation, individuals can then better manage their own emotions, communicate more effectively, and make independent decisions, which will in turn foster healthier and more authentic relationships. An example of emotional fusion might be when a parent, this called me out so hard. Are you ready for this shit?
Yeah.
This is why I'm saying it's, I am not like somebody who's like, I do this all the time. No, I'm very much still, I'm getting better at this.
Wait, time out.
Oh yeah.
Let's check and see if we have any sponsors.
Whenever a parent who feels anxious anytime their child is upset, the parent's mood is closely tied to their child's emotion. Makes sense. That's a biology thing as well. However, now it makes it difficult for them to maintain their own sense of calm and rationality when their child is in this distressed state.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, their worry might compel them to rush in and solve the child's problem rather than allowing them to develop resilience. Resilience? I want to do a whole fucking episode mm-hmm. on resilience sometimes, because I don't think people understand how important resilience is.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for resilience, I would not be here
mm-hmm.
because that is literally the only thing that got me through
right.
really traumatic shit. And you can foster,
you can, and you
strengthen
can,
your own resilience.
You could do it in a healthy way too, because exactly. I think people believe that resilience is just telling a kid to get up when he's
no,
when he fell. You know what I mean?
No.
Like
yeah.
that's when I was reading the book, What Happened to You? That was one of the focus, is like a traumatic experience for one could be a resilience building opportunity for another. And so that was something that I was talking a lot with Barbara with, but then also Kay, is like, my children, seems like clockwork, at the age of 3, struggle desperately when I leave.
Mm-hmm.
And there is such an immense guilt that I have. Mm-hmm. And I want to rescue them from that feeling. And I want to...
Mom, you'll just be here all the time then.
Yes. I want them to not have to experience hurt and pain, but that's just not realistic.
And you can't be there all the time.
I can't. And it's important for them.
It will make them feel like a codependency thing. Yes. If you always do rush back.
Yes.
They need to foster the problem solving skills and the independence there.
Yes.
It's important.
And it's also important for them to see me do these things. It's important to see me work. It's important for them to have that opportunity to miss me and for me to come home. And so there is a healthy way to do it.
100%.
And it's just about figuring that out. Again, it's just finding the middle. In a middle.
Exactly. So developing emotional, and again, I was this person with Noah. I feel like I would never say this to him now because he is doing phenomenally, but I feel like I did this to him too much being a single mom. I felt like I didn't ever want him to feel hurt and pain in the world. And so I was a helicopter mom to the T, whereas like,
I think you need to also give yourself the acknowledgement that there was a lot of fear that if he was appearing to have emotions or something wrong, that there was a fear for you that then he would be taken. So it's not just that you were.
That
is very
true. And that was an actual like real thing that I was worried would happen.
Right. So I don't want you to be like, I'm just a helicopter mom. I didn't know how to. There was.
And that's what we want you to acknowledge listening. We understand. I don't want to call them excuses, but I do understand there are
circumstances.
Great word. That's what I was looking for. At the same time, you do have to understand that there is still potentially an effect there. So as hard as it might be, I started letting him navigate the world kind of by himself. And there were times where he would look at me like, hello, why aren't you helping me? God, here's a small one. Cleaning his room. Okay.
I remember.
It was like, I would just do it for him every single time. I'd be like, I'll just do it for you because I understand you have ADHD. And so that was my whole thing is it's hard for him. He has ADHD. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. I understand. I don't like cleaning either. I'll just do it. That isn't going to help him.
Tell me if
when
I'm
he
wrong.
Goes out into the real world.
Because I feel like it was about the time that Ollie started helping me with the dishes.
Yes,
probably. That you were like, wait a minute.
Hang on. How old is he?
Yeah.
Because Noah's 7 and I'm still like having to do his whole room for him. And again, I didn't have to do it.
Right.
But he would just like, he would be almost devastated. Now, he does his room now. Mm-hmm. Here's what I had to do. I said, listen, you're going to have to do your room. You're going to have to learn how to clean a house, which he does. He does chores now amazingly.
Yeah.
Here's how, but he didn't right away. And that's where structure and just like that being able to tell your kids no, you
can
do it in a way that's not being a dick to them.
Find a way that works for you.
Yes. So we started doing that. But also I understand for him that ADHD makes it more difficult. So we would turn it into like, let's break this down into little tasks.
Yep.
And you can, you want to put on music? Put on a playlist. Let's make a playlist. We'll make a playlist together, but you will go in your room. You will turn your playlist on because I know that makes it easier for me to clean. And you will do these tasks, at least the first three. If you need a break after that, a mental break, come out, get a snack, fine.
Take a break.
But then you will go back in and you have to do this. Mm-hmm. It's got to be done by tonight.
Right.
However you want to go about doing it, fine. And now, guess what? He does it great. It's not even a problem. But it was something that I struggled with. I felt like almost a failure because of it, but it's not. It's just, I understand that for me, it was born out of a place of, I didn't want him to feel sadness and hurt. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, okay, it'll be easier if I do it.
See, I was almost too far in the opposite direction where I was like, okay, if you don't want to clean this up, then you're going to deal with the consequences of this not being cleaned up. And then Ollie became really good at walking on Legos.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like watching someone walk
calluses.
Truly. I was like, I couldn't walk into his room because the entire floor was Legos. And he was like, hold on, Mom, I want you to read me a book. And he's just stepping on them, not even flinching. And I'm like, that is terrifying.
I created a monster.
That's terrifying. Because it was almost like, I don't know that he's going to care about this. Like I don't think the natural consequences.
Well, no, I don't think kids don't care the way that I think adults do about like messes.
Now, sometimes he will get to a point where he's like, okay, I'd like to clean this. Or now he's starting to like, I do like my books a certain way. So he's getting there.
Yeah.
But it definitely wasn't how I thought it was going to be. And so like, I almost had too little structure
yeah.
to where I made a monster. So
okay, so developing emotional differentiation in this scenario would involve the parent recognizing and respecting the distinction between their own emotions and their children's. Okay, think about this. This is what I thought when I read this. It's very similar to if you're on an airplane and it starts to go down and the masks fall, mm-hmm. as much as you might want to immediately put that mask on your baby,
yep.
that's not going to help if your baby's got an oxygen mask on and then you're passed out in the seat next to
yes.
them. You have to help yourself first mm-hmm. before you can help that child. So
I also feel like this would be a situation, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, where in a family system, one person is having big feelings, is pissed about something, and nobody else is mad, mm-hmm. but the person ends up getting more angry because no one else is mad.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
where
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, I have this feeling, so you should also have this feeling. And it actually is making me more angry that I'm witnessing you not match my feeling.
I when think it's that like, definitely but that has nothing to do with the fusion, because it's like, hey, we're supposed to be so interconnected that you should feel this way with me. And it's like, those are your feelings, though.
Yeah. Why do I have to feel this way? Well, because if you don't, it's disrespectful to me. And you obviously don't care about me then.
I see. Yeah. I would go into that further, but I'll save that for after the podcast. But I feel that. They might acknowledge their anxiety while also understanding that it is their child who is upset and not them. And by managing their own emotional response, the parent can remain calm and supportive, allowing the child to then navigate their feelings. Because guess what? Tantrums, sadness, anger, all of those things are important for children to feel.
Yes.
They should feel those.
Yes.
That's okay. You mm-hmm. being able to be a supportive parent, though, and be like, hey, that's the whole me and Noah. Instead of being like, Noah, will you settle down and not, mm-hmm. I don't know, be angry? It's
yeah.
just math or
yes.
whatever would mm-hmm. have probably been said to me.
Yep.
It's not that serious. It's math. Shut up and do your homework or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yep.
I'm not saying that was directly what was said to me. I'm just saying I've heard that
yeah.
from maybe TV. I don't know. Anyway. But me being WGB. Like, hey, I can see that you're angry right now. And that's not an easy
feeling
emotion to navigate, but it is a normal emotion. But I think if you did it in a healthy way,
yep.
just got it out, that you would be able to come back here and focus more, because that's really clouding
yes.
your focus.
Forrest is in, this is the thing, like when people are like, oh, terrible twos, oh, three-nager, all of those like labels. You completely, by doing that, like I know they're cutesy, but you completely invalidate the emotions that they're going through for 2 years.
Oh my God, that they're feeling so many things.
Because think about
it. In really huge ways.
Yeah. Think about it. If you lose something that's super meaningful to you, like let's say your wedding ring or your car, like just like a person.
Yeah.
The absolute pain and emotion that you feel from that, mm-hmm. a child could feel by losing a toy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when they have that big emotion, you're like, it's a fucking toy. Relax. It's not
helpful.
It's not to them. It's
yeah.
not, though.
Yeah.
And so you don't get to decide the level of importance to things for that person. Now, Forrest, for example, or maybe a kid I saw on TV. When he's upset, he throws things.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care what it is. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't care who's in the line of fire. And it's bad.
Yeah.
Do I think that it is worse than any other kid? Not necessarily. I think all kids kind of fall into different categories of how they express the really big feelings. Like some kids smack their heads on the floor. Some kids mm-hmm. hold their breath. Mm-hmm. Some kids scream mm-hmm. and cry and kick, and other kids throw things.
Yeah. So Sawyer hasn't started. I mean, she doesn't necessarily throw it across the room, but she has started doing like a really aggressive mic drop with whatever she's
yes.
holding. Like a throw it on the ground.
Yep.
But just straight
yep.
down. And I'm like, okay, well,
yes.
mm-hmm. that's fine.
Well, something that I've started doing with Forrest is, hey, you're mad.
Yeah.
You're allowed to be mad. You're not allowed to throw things.
Yep.
You're not allowed to break our stuff.
Yeah.
I work really hard to make sure that we can have fun things in the house. And when you're upset, you take it out on stuff that then you don't get to play with after.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling upset and you feel like you want to throw something, let's go throw something.
Yeah.
And at first he was like, sure, I'll throw something. And then he continued to throw stuff he wasn't supposed to throw. But yeah. Now, yeah,
because you can
it
say
takes
that,
time.
And also kids aren't going to understand. You said that yes. in a way that like kids are not going to be like, oh, got it.
Sure.
Because they're three.
But you have to do it over and over again.
Yeah.
You are the constant.
Let's
be
go throw
the constant.
This. Yeah.
So every time he did it, I would say that. And when you have to repeat yourself in that way, it almost feels like they're not listening. And it's like, no, but they're learning.
Yeah.
How many times did you have to practice driving before you felt confident to do it enough on your own? And you did it without even thinking.
Right.
So now it's happened so much that when he starts to pick something up, I'll look at him and say, hey, buddy, are you feeling like you need to throw something? Mm-hmm. And he goes, let's play catch.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
So then he goes and he gets a ball and then we play catch.
Yep.
Or we roll it. And so like he's learning to regulate.
Yes.
Not every time and not with everything, but like
it's a process.
It's a process.
Yeah.
And I could just be like, I bought you that toy.
Or
if you're going to treat it that way, you don't get anything.
Yeah.
I'm taking it all away. I'll give you something to be upset about.
But then what lesson did that teach him?
Nothing.
Now he's just going to internalize that anger, shove it way down. And then guess what? Do you think it's going to come out in a healthy way
right.
when he's an adult?
What I learned here is that I'm bad and that because you are bigger than me, you have control over me and you can tell me what I can and can't have mm-hmm. and how I can and can't feel.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, okay. Also, I just want to say, because I'm sure people are rolling their eyes and like, oh, soapboxy. But like truly, again, I'm not saying that we have all the right answers.
No.
Or this is just, we're just speaking about why we do the things we do, and also what we've learned in parenting, because all parenting is different.
And truly, it does connect with this, because
well, yeah, 100%.
In situations with these family systems and how generational, like at some point, you have to do something different.
Yeah, you do. Well, okay, so this
do
is
I know if our way is going to work? I fucking don't. I won't know that until my kids are in therapy,
different.
But it is different.
It's a different thing. Emotional differentiation involves observing our emotions without reacting to them, fostering healthier and more balanced relationships from that then. Okay, so we're going to move on to number two, which is triangles and triangulation. Yes. Bowen's theory explores the concept of triangles, which occur when tension arises between two individuals and then a third person is drawn in to alleviate the conflict. Triangulation can complicate relationships and perpetuate unhealthy dynamics. Understanding how triangles manifest and learning to navigate them with emotional intelligence can lead to a more balanced and harmonious connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, example.
Triangles are fucking hard.
Yeah. Here's an example. So, here they give an instance of a married couple who is experiencing tension in their relationship. Instead of addressing their issues directly with each other, they involve a third person like their child, potentially.
Better not be.
Sharing.
Unfortunately, it usually is.
It usually is. Sharing their grievances and seeking comfort. This is an example of a triangle where the child is now drawn into the couple's conflict, effectively reducing the tension between the couple.
Uh-huh.
Which shouldn't be their job.
Uh-huh.
This is known as triangulation. However, such a scenario can then cause emotional distress to the child, who now may feel burdened by their parents' conflict and feel like it's on them to resolve it.
You don't say.
Mm-hmm. And it can also prevent the couple from resolving their issues directly, perpetuating unhealthy dynamics within the family.
You don't say.
Isn't it wild how that works?
That's interesting. Same. I've never heard of that before, but I saw it on TV.
No, me too, me too. That was an episode of Full House, I think.
Yeah,
certainly
yeah,
nothing I've ever had to deal with.
Yeah.
Recognizing and disengaging from such triangulation can then contribute to healthier and more open communication in relationships. So what I think is probably to stop involving your kids
yes.
in your troubles. There has been, again, not that I've been guilty of it, but I know that me and Corey have had arguments in mm-hmm. front of Noah. And then
I know what you're are you going to bring up what you said to Noah the other day?
What that is not on. What did I say directly? Because I can't remember exactly what it was.
What,
I told you right after it happened. But
what you said is Corey
literally just happened.
Corey apologized to Noah for
yes.
for not being able to regulate his feelings and kind of
because,
projecting.
Yeah, he had an anxiety moment and he was just kind of also hungry. So he was kind of just being more hangry than he needed to be. And he was saying things that did need to be taken care of. But maybe he said it in a tone that I was like, hey, well, and this is what I told him, because I stepped in and I was like, hey, your lesson is getting lost in your message.
Delivery. Yep.
So let's fix the delivery, because I promise you, the way that you're delivering the message, that tone, he's not hearing what you're trying to say.
Yes.
He's just thinking, oh, you're mad at me.
Right. And I'm not saying what you have to say isn't meaningful.
Again, it was, but you regulate your emotions. Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw Corey under the bus. But again,
it's a human thing.
If you're sitting out there and you're like, wow, sounds like Corey's toxic, have children. I don't know, because literally it's going to happen.
That's a normal thing.
You're a normal. That's. Yeah.
I mean, you gave a similar example with Noah getting frustrated with his math.
Yeah.
And taking it out on Sawyer, saying like, stop climbing on that. Should she not have been climbing? Maybe.
Yeah. But
I think it's arguably that probably would be a safe thing to tell someone climbing on something. Right. But
he did it because he was like, I'm mad right now and I'd like to take this madness out on someone.
Yes.
So when that happened, obviously Corey heard what I said.
Yes.
Was like,
you're right.
Damn. Gonna check myself for a minute. Apologize to Noah. Mm-hmm. And then Noah looked at me. He was like, are you gonna apologize to Corey then? I was like, hey. First of all, because I will say, when I told him, I was maybe using a tone that was like,
yes,
hey, snap out of it, mister. I was using my mom voice. I'm not gonna lie to you. Because it needed to be used. Because he was...
That was the level of the room.
It's true. And so when that happened, then Noah was like, hey, but you kind of had a tone with him. And I was like, you know what? Yes. And I will get around to apologizing.
You're not wrong.
But also, this is not your conflict to resolve.
Yes.
And I don't know if this...
You also told me...
That's something he does often.
Right. And you said... And you can tell me if you want me to take this out, but I feel like you're not going to care. But you told me that you said... I want you to know that whether you see us resolve it or not, or you see us apologize or not,
bingo,
that we do. That is important to us.
That
you don't
is
have,
what I said.
It doesn't have to be something that you worry about.
Yes. That is what I said.
Yeah.
And then he was like, cool, I'm going to go to my room. And I was like, see you later.
Put on your playlist, clean it or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, and that was it. It didn't have to be a big thing, but it was nice that he was like, I don't know. I feel happy that he felt comfortable enough
to call you out.
To call me out, and that he saw me call him out, and that it was always like, there wasn't ever a, nobody was bad in the situation, because I was just like, hey, I hear you, and I know that you're hungry, and that you are anxious right now, because maybe like the house was messy, and he was also trying to cook. Corey's not a cook, so like, cooking can be very
stressful.
Yeah, if you don't do it often. There's a lot going on.
True.
And so I think that there was a lot happening there. So me calling that out, and then also Noah being like, well, but also I think that you were feeling triggered by that. So
yes. Hey, you don't need to apologize. This is a big adult thing. Okay. Thank you. But no, thank you.
But it's going to happen. That's the thing that I also want to say. If your kids are like getting involved with it, that doesn't automatically mean that you're bringing them into it. I think the kids will see stuff like that and automatically almost feel like a need to,
well,
for peace to happen and feel like I can help with this, because you guys both like me and you listen to me. Right now, it seems like maybe you don't like each other.
Maybe you don't like each other.
So I think in those moments, maybe reinforcing that
you do like each other.
Yeah.
But I also feel like Noah's going to be 12.
Yeah.
So he's getting older. How did I want to say this? As important as it is for them to know that they don't have to keep the peace or be responsible for helping the two of you navigate conflict, it is important for them to see healthy conflict and healthy resolution.
That part.
So
yes, exactly.
Because he is going to have conflict of his own.
Exactly.
And I think him hearing, like, you know what? Maybe apologizing doesn't have to be a performance. And maybe it doesn't have to be done in a specific way. Because there are parts of communication that sometimes get lost in just the monotony of them. Just like apologizing or saying I love you, or like sometimes the, everything
it gets lessened.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think acknowledging, forcing someone to say I'm sorry, like forcing a kid to apologize. Like, I'm not going to apologize if I don't want to apologize and I'm not sorry. Like
a, yeah, if I'm not. Yes.
But I'm also not going to do it when you think that I should either, just because you tell me I should.
Because here's what that all that's doing is, you'll make people happy if you apologize, but then you don't have to do anything.
Yep.
Don't have to change your behavior. And guess what? Then those kids grow up and they say sorry as a way to diffuse the situation, mm-hmm. and not actually feel sorry.
Yes.
So if you don't feel
or
that
make
way,
progress.
You're not going to change what you did. And then it just becomes
yes
that. Okay. The next one is multi-generational transmission process, which I think is pretty easy. So we can fly through this one pretty quickly.
That sounds like learning stick shift in a car. That's a lot of car language.
It's the transmission.
Yeah.
I think it's because, well, essentially what it means, it highlights how behavior patterns, emotional reactivity, and relationship dynamics are passed down through generations.
Yes.
Basically what we've been talking about this whole time. If you see it, then you're going to
repeat
it. Kids learn mirror neurons. Kids are learning by what they're seeing. So if things are done in a certain way, that's what all they're going to know.
And you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
And because I would say the millennial generation is the first generation that really had access to
outside knowledge.
Yes.
Outside of our homes, we could be like, oh shit, this is actually how you
so
could do
how
it.
Would you know
exactly
that everybody wasn't doing it that way? I think a lot of kids, even in like divorced households, were like, oh, not every family is split up, or vice versa. Yeah. Like if you didn't have parents who were split up, you'd be like, oh, what do you mean your parents don't live in the same house?
Uh-huh.
Like, or what do you mean you live with your grandparents? It's like, if you don't have access, and that's why this is a pivot to a different soapbox. That's why representation in media is so important, because there are so many different, and it's not just, yes, obviously the most important thing is to see someone who looks like you and a system that is similar to yours reflected in media so that you can feel comfort in knowing that you're not alone, but also it desensitizes other people to the like
shock of it.
Yes.
Almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
acknowledging that that's there. That's why I have books that are not catered to boys.
Yeah.
I have a book that's called She Persists, and I read it to my boys about, and it starts, being a girl is tough sometimes.
Yes.
Because guess what?
It is.
That's just you don't have to be a girl in order to know that.
To acknowledge it.
That's important to show. And again, I think because generationally, they didn't have access to this stuff. It was just like, okay, monkey see, monkey do.
Yes.
Then that's how we get
where we're at.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. By recognizing and understanding these patterns, individuals can break free from unhealthy cycles and can create healthier relationship dynamics for themselves and then for their future generations, which I think is the goal.
Yes.
It's not going to be, boom, we did it. It's obviously going to
take time
and work, but
trial and
that's
error.
The goal.
Yes.
That is the goal. So an example of this would be, they say, let's consider the Smith family, where the grandfather was known for his quick temper and impulsivity. Okay.
If you guys hear my stomach, I'm so sorry.
Me too. I'm hungry as fuck. Okay. This behavior pattern was then seen in his son, who often reacted impulsively during stressful situations because that's what he saw. Mm-hmm. And now the grandson, Jack, seems to exhibit these similar behaviors. However, Jack appears to have inherited these behavioral tendencies despite he never met his grandfather.
Yep.
Okay, but now he's experiencing these things.
Yes.
In that way. So this illustrates the importance of why recognizing those patterns can help in breaking the cycle and then foster healthier coping mechanisms and behavioral responses, because a lot of what we do with our children, there's some that is, you know, just like on a genetic level with how they are, mm-hmm. but a lot of it is society and a lot of it is family systems.
Yes.
They're going to,
and I think,
react to what they know and see.
I think it's important to acknowledge those things as well when and if you do confront people about how you are planning to break cycles or make changes or set boundaries, because if you don't, it can just, again, your message could get lost, and mm-hmm. it could just sound like you're saying, you were a bad dad to me.
Yeah.
You were a bad mom to me.
Yeah.
And I don't need to look any further than that.
You know, that's why I hate when certain things happen on anywhere on the internet and people immediately just go to like, you're a piece of shit for it. Because I think it's so like, realistically, who's listening to that and changing?
Right.
You're,
no one.
Immediately, all you're doing is you're making that person either get defensive or they don't care anymore.
Right.
They're like, meh, fuck what you have to say.
Right.
You don't know me. Kind of a thing.
Right.
But, and not that anybody owes anybody their time and, no, and it's, effort it's, and education. Yeah. But if you, there's a way to maybe, you know, understand that this person might be this way because they didn't know any better, or this person might be doing this thing because they didn't know any better. And if you provide that, sure, there's a possibility that they're going to continue willfully being ignorant. But there could also be an aha moment that happens.
Yes.
And that's the goal. And again,
that's why we share so many of our
oh, I'm not going to be the
shamey, blamey moments.
That's going to, I won't be like, oh, we're just going to delete this and it never happened from the internet.
Yes.
That's not how life works, and it will
surface.
That's it.
And I would never want, if I'm not willing to own my shit, how can I ever expect somebody else to own their shit?
Exactly.
And if I am willing to do so in a way where I'm not going to shame myself, and I am just going to be like, you know what? I'm going to take accountability. I'm going to acknowledge this. I'm going to learn. Thanks. I'm going to grow. I have seen how effective that is for other people.
Yep.
And so, like you were saying, that it bothers you when people will just talk about, like, call someone out basically saying they're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And this is like nuanced. This is not just super like nuanced. Bigoted people or something. Like, if you're fighting with people on the internet.
There are people out there that just are pieces of shit. Yeah. Not who I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. But I think that if you're not willing to take the time, and you don't have to, to educate them and like bring awareness to that situation, then maybe you also don't have the time and energy to call them a piece of shit in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think you can protect your peace without throwing that the shame.
Because it's like, at that point, what's getting done?
Right.
Who's benefiting?
Right.
What progress
do you feel
has
better?
Been made? That
do you feel
is
better?
What I always say. Do you feel better?
Yeah.
Because I feel like nothing positive happened here.
Right. And that's another reason why I'm not going to get on here and call people out. There's been so many people in my life who are terrified of the fact that I have a microphone. And I'm like, what good is that? What do you think
would
I do
that? Why would I do that? In what way would that benefit my life at all?
It wouldn't. That's the same reason why you don't name your abuser.
Nope,
it's
and
the
I won't.
Same reason. Like, we don't go into that stuff because what good would it do?
No. It wouldn't.
If anything, we spend a lot of time acknowledging the fact that our abusers came from XYZ situation. They are the way they are because XYZ. I don't need
to... Not an excuse. That doesn't mean that I need to be around it or a part of it.
You don't get access to me.
However, I'm not going to stoop down to that level because he's down there.
Right.
Because who would that benefit?
Right. Part of me is like, are we getting so off topic that it doesn't have to do with it? But I feel like I'll listen to it back and be like, okay, I get.
Yeah.
This is tangents. So it makes sense if we do derail completely. But
exactly. Well, I only have one more too. Yeah. So we can't derail. This is fucking a big one and it might hit some people hard. And
so
I apologize.
Get your pillow. You just looked at me like it's going to hit me hard.
Well, you and I, because this is the role of anxiety.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anxiety is a critical component of Bowen family systems theory, as it impacts how individuals interact within their relationships. Bowen suggests that managing anxiety is crucial for maintaining healthy emotional boundaries and promoting differentiation. By examining and understanding the underlying anxieties within the family system, individuals can minimize emotional reactivity and respond more effectively to relationship challenges. So here's the example they give. Let's say Mary, a single mother of two who constantly feels overwhelmed and anxious about her ability to provide for her family. This is why I'm saying to everybody, this does not mean you're a piece of shit, because I was this person. Her anxiety about not being able to provide as a single mother seeps into her relationships with her children, which causes her to hover over them and micromanage their lives. This overbearing behavior stems from her deep-seated fears of failure and losing control. She often reacts in an emotionally intense manner to minor inconveniences, fostering a tense and anxious home environment. This scenario illustrates how anxiety can influence relationships within a family system and trigger emotional reactivity. Recognizing this anxiety-driven behavior is the first step to managing it, promoting healthier emotional boundaries, and fostering a more balanced family dynamic. So essentially, what that means is I can understand why Mary is doing what she's doing. However, that doesn't mean it's okay.
Well, and what's bizarre about that situation is like Mary's so afraid of being a bad mom that she's, I don't want to say she's being a bad mom, but like if I'm going to just use really like simple terms.
Yes.
She's so afraid of failing her kids that she's failing her kids.
Accidentally by. Yes. But, you know, and again, this could be because she doesn't recognize it or have the tools. But if you feel those feelings, number one is working on yourself.
Yeah.
It should always be, what can I do to foster these relationships? Now,
it just
sometimes
sounds,
there are relationships that cannot be fostered. And in that case, fucking cut it off. You know yourself and your life better than I do. Don't let what I'm saying make you feel any sort of icky negative feelings. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying that sometimes I think we can hear that and have a person that we've lived with experience those things.
Yep.
I understand. I grew up very much near
watching TV.
Very much near the television where this was happening frequently. And I understood that that person had those issues.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was so negatively affecting my life that when I got away, I got the fuck away. And now there feels like a definite distance there where there doesn't need to be, maybe. But at the same time, I'm like, Neither one of us know how to not. Yes.
Right.
So.
And I feel like I feel guilty about how I said Mary was a bad mom or Mary was failing her kids, because Mary is ambiguous. But what I mean by that is it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's.
It is. I don't want to not be able to give these children everything, which is obviously what a parent wants.
Yes.
You're a good mother for that.
Yes.
But not being able to manage the fear that you have.
You got to put your mask on first before you can put your mask on your babies.
Yes.
You have to.
Mask up. COVID is out here still.
That's what we know.
Yeah.
I think that's really all I have for you. Again, not to make anybody feel any kind of shame or anything.
I hope no one does. Because
if you are noticing these things, I implore you to, instead of feeling like I'm bad, use this as a moment of self-discovery. I just downloaded an app called CoStar. Okay. Not sponsored, but it is an astrology app. I just thought it would be fun. I really like astrology things recently. And I just think it's fun. Anyways. While I was putting in all my information, birth date and all the such, it was like a thing popped up basically saying to approve or deny getting notifications. However, it worded in a way that was like, do you approve us basically calling you out? So it'll pop up at some moment and be like, hey, your Mars is in wherever.
You're in your head.
You're in your own head. Snap out of it.
Yeah.
Own your power. Whatever.
That would honestly freak me out a little bit.
I fucking love it. Okay. Because it is something that I think this year I really want to do, is just like acknowledge. I want to be a better version of myself. And part of that is realizing that I'm not the best version of myself.
Heard.
Now.
Heard.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Heard. So, and that is not an easy thing to do.
It's not.
I wanted to say that, like, I am Mary. I was Mary.
I was Mary.
I mean,
too.
I'm Mary.
No,
I'm Jerry.
I'm Jerry Mary. No, honestly, I was Mary, and I think I probably still have some of Mary inside me.
Yeah, inside of me. I remember when I had Forrest and I was watching Manny, that there was a time I was losing my mind because I felt like I was failing.
Yeah.
All three of these kids, one of them wasn't even mine.
Yep.
I felt like I am creating a really unhealthy dynamic for them because I feel overwhelmed, and I know that they're going to feel that I'm overwhelmed and they're going to feel like a burden, and I don't want them to feel like a burden. There was a time where I hid behind the couch and I was just crying because I couldn't handle it. And Ollie came over to me. He's freaking just turned 2 years old, and he's like, "Mommy, why are you crying?" And I I remember being like, I cannot do this anymore. Yeah. I can't do this anymore. And I had already started therapy at that point. But even when I started therapy, the reason was because I was so anxious and overwhelmed and feeling like, I don't know. I'm so afraid I'm going to fuck things up that yep. I feel like I'm fucking them up.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to say that, like, I don't want to speak on this ambiguous Mary person without acknowledging that, like, I feel it because I've been it, and I recognize it when I fall back in it and focus on prioritizing myself, because it's not selfish. It's important.
It is very important.
It's important to make sure I don't hold so tightly that I break it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, that's all I have for you today and
thank
everybody.
You so much.
I hope that I'm sorry is all I have to say. But
hey,
also,
let us know if you let us know if you guys also watch TV growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, did you and, guys have TVs in your bedroom growing up? Did you see the things we're talking about?
Yeah, did you guys watch those TV shows too? Let us know.
Yeah. And also, if you have time, you know, go to patreon.com/ladiesandtangents. Come visit us.
Or
we're going to be there on Friday.
If you guys aren't in Florida and you're cold wherever you are, fly to Florida and you can come and see us.
We'll go.
I actually don't even know what the ticket counts are in Florida, but someone was like, hey, why don't you push those Florida shows? And I was like, all right.
Sorry.
So, we've done so much Florida slander that they're like, bet.
Yeah, Florida, I love you.
Talk to a room of no one, you motherfuckers.
Florida, I love you, but also I'd love to see you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Let us come see you.
Yep.
And we'll see the rest of you next Tuesday. Thanks so much for hanging out. And we love you so much. We'll see you next week.
All right.
We're out.
Bye.